Welcome, believers. This is Lucha Lowdown. I am your host and El Jefe of this podcast, James Kincaid. With me tonight, as always, El Guapo Jeff Budd.
Yo, bro.
I thought maybe, you know, since you were watching Glow on Netflix, you might throw like a Glow reference at me just to try and get me off kilter, but still keep it with the wrestling.
Oh, if I remember, what Marin said about the miscarriage,
the womb goof.
Womb goof. That's how doctors should refer to it.
Yeah, just trying to be, you know, sensitive. Welcome back to Lucha Lowdown. By the way, if you're not watching Glow on Netflix, check it out. I found it very enjoyable. Jeff, delightful. You did as well. Yeah, you're not quite through with it yet. But yeah, it's great seeing all the wrestling cameos, including
so many
Lucha Underground alums, Johnny Mundo, and Joey Ryan, just to name a couple. So, yeah, that's awesome. Check that out. But we are here to talk about Lucha Underground, of course, and we're continuing on in the Cueto Cup here. This episode was titled Family First, which immediately made me think of Arrested Development, and we'll get more on that later. But overall thoughts on this episode, Jeff?
This was a good one as far as the vignettes go. It was creepy yet appropriate and gets that story going still, keeps the narrative moving forward.
Yeah, I agree with you. This was a very strong vignette episode, in particular this is a Moth Tribe episode, and that's cool. We haven't gotten many of those, and this really does advance some stories that we've been asking for, and that Marty the Moth Martinez discussed with me when he came on the program. So this was cool to finally see that start to come to fruition. I didn't think the in-ring stuff was the best foot forward that Lucha Underground's ever put on, and we'll get more into that.
I'll say half and half as far as that goes. I thought two matches were better than two other matches. I'll say the Moth matches were good.
That's true. I agree with you there. I do think they're going for a common thread as we go through these, is that they want every one of the Cueto Cup matches to appear more competitive than maybe it really should be. But I think they're trying to sell how hard everyone is fighting for this number one contender spot at Ultima Lucha Trace. But that being said,
what about the Tejano match?
Well, that was Famous B, who was just trying to be his manager. But other than that,
Pentagon Jr. or Pentagon Dark match.
Still, even you said that went on longer than it should have.
Well, for Arjenis, yeah, that was probably his greatest showing.
Well, that's what we've discussed. I didn't necessarily have a problem with it. So, but to this week's episode, though, definitely, you know, featured some people putting up more of a fight than they necessarily should have, starting with
one of them especially.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially what we saw in last week's episode. But we start with a great vignette of Phoenix riding in a Firebird, of course, which is just awesome. And oh my goodness, Melissa Santos killing that dress and flirting with Phoenix. What did you think of as this was all going down? Because again, we saw in the trailer, it looked like they were out on the town together. And then we see this.
Well, we saw it in the trailer, so this is something that we had kind of predicted. So we've kind of been waiting for this since, what, August? Is that when the trailer for the season came out? So long ago now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were wondering if Phoenix was going to get into some sort of, I guess, like, love triangle, because even though she's not interested in Marty the Moth, he is still
certainly interested in
as
her.
A potential suitor.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what? You could do worse than Marty, I say.
We'll get into that. We'll get into that because I want to talk to you about what you said to me. we get Phoenix and Melissa flirting with one another. We predictably pan over. I mean, as you know, Phoenix saying, you know, then he's going to win his match tonight for Melissa. She's rooting for him in the Cueto Cup and everything like that. But we predictably pan over to one of the darker corners of where this was taking place. And there was Marty. watching the whole thing, none too pleased. What did you just think about how this whole kicked off? I loved that we got the whole sort of the whole storyline that we kick off right from the jump, that we know that this episode is going to be about this, as you said, love triangle.
I feel for Marty a little bit. I think every guy has been in that dark corner at least once.
Fair enough. Some of us are in there more than others.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that we've all been Phoenix at some point, but, you know, more often than not, you're going to end up as Marty.
I love,
and that's just life.
Just his reaction, throwing his head through the glass and everything like that. I thought that was terrific.
Maybe you don't take it that far. It's more of a metaphor, really.
Sometimes you gotta.
Well, yeah, and sometimes you literally do that.
Yeah, Absolutely. But that takes us to the first match of the Cueto Cup matches for the evening. And this was Vinny Massaro versus Cage. And right off the bat, I think you said it, and I will echo it. Not a fan of how much Vinny got in here on Cage, right?
Vinny should not be able to survive against a normal Cage. This is a Cage who has now worn the gauntlet for months.
Yeah.
I mean, so this is a partially God-infused Cage at this point. I mean, he smashed a man's skull into pieces like an overripe melon last week.
Yeah, after what we saw with what he was able to do with Councilman Delgado, and then, you know, this, even though he wasn't wearing the gauntlet in the match, but still.
But it's there, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, building off of that, you know, I would have liked to have seen Cage just sort of dominate and squash. Nothing against Vinny. It's just for storyline aspect, I think it would have been better if Cage was just super brutal and just dominated and from start to finish.
And we've seen Cage dominate matches against more reputable fighters on the roster.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just kind of how it – and we've had guys that honestly don't want to fight against him, even though they're able to hold their own, like a Johnny Mundo, back when Mundo was still sort of the face.
Yeah.
They were kind of making that transition. And, I mean, Mundo's the kind of guy who can handle himself against basically anybody on the roster, but that didn't mean that he wanted to go against Cage in any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I thought the one things I would have done differently here, too, is when Vinny grabbed the gauntlet, that should have been it for him. Either something supernatural happens with the gauntlet or whatever where he – but, like, it should have enraged Cage to the point where it's like, that was it. And, like, it went on for too long after he even touched it, you know?
Should have burned his hands or the lights should have went out. And then when the lights come back on, he's just, like, out in the ring and Cage is standing above him wearing the gauntlet. Or I don't know. Yeah, something like that should have happened. Or like you said, at the very least, Cage just really loses it because that's his.
Yeah.
And, really just tears him apart.
Yeah, so I was not necessarily a fan of how everything within the match went down. Obviously, Cage went over. And I did like, I mean, Vinny took some good bumps in this match. I'll give him that. Like, Cage did beat him pretty good, especially the post-match beatdown I thought was done pretty well. I would have liked to see them go even further with it, though, since he did, in fact, grab the gauntlet. I would have liked him to do even more damage.
Yeah, I just don't like the idea of the gauntlet being something that somebody can use as a prop when trying to mess with him.
Yeah.
I'm trying to showboat with it.
Yeah. No, I agree. But Cage is moving on. Both our brackets are still perfect so far. We then from there got another Rey Mysterio versus Johnny Mundo promo video. Loved it. I liked how they sort of juxtaposed the two worlds that that Rey and Johnny were from. What did you think of this?
It kind of reminded me of what you were saying last week as far as you were hoping that they were going to continue to do things like this. I think it's a really, for them, unique way to promote a match, and I'm enjoying it. It's also with two personalities that I think you can do it with because you have the living legend Rey Mysterio Jr., and then you have Johnny Mundo who, you know, he's larger than life. He is the champion, and I feel there's a lot you can do as far as showing his training and his background and his aspirations and things like that.
Yeah, I really liked in the voiceover how they were talking about how Johnny Mundo was a winner of a televised competition, and he showed the right amount of tough, just subtle nods to tough enough,
which is good. Well, like we've talked about this with Lucha Underground before, they're a part of the shared universe. They have no problem referencing the history of you know other promotions and. You know, they pay homage to different wrestlers, and they make references like that, even just subtle ones, sometimes, you know, more blatant.
They invoked by name WWF specific shows in this episode, too. So I like that. I like John talking about the haters and everything like that, and that people have no choice but to call him the best if he beats Rey. I think these are all so well done, and I assume now we're going to get one of these every week, and I'm excited. The big fight feel of it and all the build I like.
Yeah, no, it's a good idea. This is a fun tournament, and then that's going to be a fun match to determine, I guess, who in the Cueto Cup winner gets to challenge.
In theory.
All of this, I think, is pretty good.
Yes, and then we get Marty the Moth versus Saltador of the Rabbit Tribe. I agree. I was thinking about this while I was watching the match, is that the Rabbit Tribe really works so much better in the confines of their group as opposed to solo.
Well, and I think the only argument could be made for potentially Paul London, and that's the only one that we haven't seen yet.
That is very true.
But yeah, the both of them, Malasuerte and Salvador, they're side characters, they're secondary characters, and yeah, they work better, like we were saying, as a team. I will say, though, I enjoyed this pairing because, you know, it's the wackiness of the rabbit tribe versus, you know, the insanity of the moth tribe. Neither one can really get their usual advantage over the other as far as the psychedelics or just, you know, the madness of Marty. I thought that was good that the two of them kind of counter each other that way. Yeah. That's why I also like, you know, Marty's one of the few people that I feel matches well with Mil Mortes because he's not afraid of him.
Yeah, he's too crazy to be afraid of him.
Exactly. And because of that, I thought handled himself quite well. What was it? The Last Ultima Lucha or something like that?
Aztec Warfare or something like
Aztec
that?
Aztec Warfare. Yeah, it was Aztec Warfare. And it's like, yeah, you know, that's a matchup you don't think of. But yeah, maybe Marty from the Moth Tribe would be more appropriate. And this was the same kind of thing I was getting. I like that vibe.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I still think that, again, maybe, I mean, like you said, the two Moth matches on this episode were some of the better ones. I agree with you. I like the sort of the fact that they were almost canceling each other out. Matt Stryker, when Salvador is coming to the ring, said this match was going to be rated MDMA, which I appreciated. And right off the bat, we're getting a chant for Checkers, which because Salvador is like essentially in like a checkered gimp suit. And the this is weird chant. But yeah, and it was. But this is the match where they started putting over other tournaments, like when Macho Man won, you know, WrestleMania 4. And they're talking about how this one is, you know, that was only 16. This is 32. And I putting over the tournaments over wrestling's history, I thought was very cool. And they did some cool spots in this match. I mean, Marty, when he like powerbomb slammed essentially Salvador into the fencing area outside the ring, that was great. And
showing off for his lady, man.
Of course. And again, yeah, he was really really laying it on thick tonight towards Melissa, including when he did the lick motion towards her again. And she just, God, the two of them work so well together because she just has such a great disgusted face towards him. And he is just such a great creep on her. I mean, it's really a perfect match.
There are many ways to sell in wrestling. And yeah, she's doing a good job as far as what their relationship is.
And what did you say to me about Marty? Because you texted me something about him that I want you to regurgitate it for me.
I think I sent it during the vignette is when I sent it, because like Marty, I was at my wit's end. I don't know what this poor guy's supposed to do. I wrote, he's like, this is him thinking in his head. He's like, I'm rich, not bad looking, and I've been super effing nice to her. What more does she want?
You're not exactly wrong either. In his mind.
For what Marty is? Like, this is, that's how he would, you know, go about wooing a girl. You know, he doesn't have all the skills there necessary, but he comes from a wealthy family. I like his smile. He's not a bad looking guy. And yeah, he's as friendly to Melissa as he knows how to be to a woman.
And we'll get more on that later.
He's just creepy about it. That's all.
He's very creepy about it. And Marty did go over Salvador here. Moving on to the next round of the Cueto Cup and, you know, hopefully impressing Melissa Santos in the process.
How could she not be?
I know. Both of our brackets looking good so far.
We're doing well
so far here. From there, we got a quick little Rabbit Tribe vignette with Masquerita, a.k.a. the Rabbit King, as they're calling him. And I mean, they're building towards something with the Rabbit Tribe and Masquerita. I feel like it's not going to end well for little Masquerita. Maybe he'll finally accept his divinity, but I doubt it.
What if it does turn out that he is some sort of little rabbit god?
I mean, I'm down for that, too.
Maybe he's the one who actually takes out Cage when all this really goes down. they're only going to take rejection for so long, and then it's going to get weird. Or it's going to be like a Wicker Man situation.
Oh.
And that's why they need a little rabbit god to begin with.
Oh God, that's terrifying.
They're going to roll him up into a giant yet still tiny joint.
Oh, not the rabbits. Oh, God. Yeah, that would be creepy. From there.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. You never know with these things.
That's true. You never know with the rabbit tribe. But from there, we got one of the best vignettes, I feel, in Lucha Underground history. It's super creepy. It's super dark. But it is my why I love Lucha moment of the week. The vignette with Marty in the what I'm calling the moth lair with all these photo, like very 1 hour photo. If you've happened to see that Robin Williams film with all these.
Oh, it's funny that you should bring that up.
With all these like photos of Melissa on the wall and like all these like she loves me, she loves me not. Marty and Melissa forever written all about. And he's talking about how, you know, you know how he did good tonight. You had a front row seat and you didn't even say anything. And just all of his ramblings only to be punctuated by one of the creepiest moments in Marty's illustrious Lucha Underground history. Him pulling out a crinkled photo from his underwear, from his, well, I guess from his wrestling trunks, which are is essentially a Speedo, a photo of Melissa Santos, and him just sort of caressing it, everything like that. What did you think about this first part? It just everything that was going on. What were you thinking?
Hey, listen, man, wrestling trunks don't have pockets. Where else was he supposed to keep it? He has a crush on her. She's a celebrity. So, of course, there's pictures of her in like magazines and things like that. Doesn't surprise me that he has one. As far as the whole shrine, I think we've all built shrines like that about girls. Am I right? Even if just in our heads. So I thought that was all right. And as far as this conversation goes, have we not all had that conversation in our head while driving home, while being blueballed by some girl that we liked?
He's been walking around with that in his trousers all day.
That may be why I love Twitter. Yes. What an astounding tweet.
Thank you.
From Lucha Lowdown.
Thank you. Yeah, he was talking about, he's like, oh, I get it. You don't want people gossiping about us. He's like, you're smart.
A fair point. Yeah. Hey, it's true. I get it.
Yeah, so he's like saying, I can never be mad at you. Then he pulls out the piece de resistance, which is he has some of her hair in what, like a little compact, and he's smelling that, which, Jeff, I know you and I can identify with.
Love smelling a girl's hair. Also, he's like one of those noble knights of old with a lock of his lady fair's hair.
But then Mariposa comes to spoil the party. And talking about
typical sister, am I right?
Talking about how what did father tell us, which was family first, and I just had immediate visions that somehow Bateman is
already said breakfast.
Yeah, exactly. No.
What did father always tell us was most important, Marty? Breakfast.
There are fortunes in the banana stand. That's the source of the moth tribe's money. But yeah, so Mariposa saying that his lust for her is making him weak and everything like that. There's all that great, like, creepy moth tension. Do you think, because then Marty asks, do you remember when we used to play? And it got a little weird there. A little, just some weird moth tension. What did you think about the interaction with Mariposa?
Are you asking me if the history of the moth tribe involves incestuous behavior?
Yes.
Because I think that would sync up with the insanity of the current generation. Also, they're old money. So, yes, I do. I think that the two of them have done something together, and I think previous moth family members have done something together.
I think it might be encouraged. I think it might be encouraged. So after that, after she leaves,
well, yeah, because the strength of the moth tribe, you gotta keep it strong. You gotta keep it in the family.
But Marty's saying, "Don't worry, it just means I have to make you part of the family." So I'm hoping for some type of dark wedding, some type of moth wedding, perhaps. Putting Melissa in some type of cocoon. I don't know.
That, you know how sick that would be if they did something like that and Phoenix has to come flying in and just shred those guys? It would be outstanding. And we have some moth goons for him to fight as well. I want to see more members of every tribe.
Yeah, I completely
agree
with
that. Even if it's just, you know, like masked jobbers or something like that. I mean, these tribes are big. They're strong. And there's a rich history to each one.
I loved that vignette though. I thought it was so strong. It advanced so much with it and everything like that. So I was stoked on that. As creepy as it was, I thought that was the real standout of this week's episode.
I would say though that Marty's lust at least made him stronger that match. He just got off a win.
That's true.
So just give him a break, Mariposa. Let's see if you get out of the first round.
Yeah, because if Mariposa wins her match, then they would in fact face each other. So if you had Mariposa in your bracket, you'll get to that in the main event. Pindar versus Masquerita is what came next. This was another one, and I love Masquerita Sagrada. He got too much against Pindar, a character who we have not gotten to see enough yet, and I think he should have really been more dominant. I'm fine with Masquerita getting some of those spots in, but I feel like it should have been more like element of surprise. Masquerita goes on a little run and everything like that. I loved the spot where he was doing like the crazy like helicopter spin over Pindar. That was super cool looking. But I think after that initial sort of rush charge out of the gate from Masquerita, I think Pindar should have just dominated him. What did you think about this match?
No, I agree. I don't think Pindar has been given a chance to dominate as much as we assumed he would, because his character was talked up quite a bit before we even met him.
Yes.
I mean, he's killed at least one person that we know of.
Daga.
Yeah, who I liked. I liked Daga, and we didn't get to know Daga well enough. But
we thought Cobra Moon liked him too.
Yeah, I guess she was just luring him back to the snake pit or reptile cave, whatever you want to call it. But, yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of Masquerita Sagrada. The more we see him, the more we like him, and I think that documentary really turned us around, and we were just like, wow, this guy is really awesome. Like you, I think it's best if he does quick strikes, a couple of surprise shots, and then, yeah, for the most part, gets dominated. Pindar is somebody who, boy, looking at the next round, it's kind of a weird showing for him in this tournament. I kind of wish he had gotten more of a chance to shine.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. But again, I think they're going for that thing that they want all these matches to be more competitive because it's the Cueto Cup and everything like that. But I think it's certain aspects you gotta protect the wrestler and the other storylines a little bit more. However, I did like when Masquerita slapped Cobra Moon and Vampiro just said, "Oh, he slapped the bitch right out of her." Thought that was pretty good.
Great slap and great reaction. And I like Cobra Moon being on the sidelines for all these matches. I think she does a great job. I think she really does help accentuate the match as well, because I liked her participation with Drago. I liked her participation here, and I'm looking forward to if Group C is this next week, then I guess we'll see her again.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Masquerita was destroyed by Pindar. So Pindar's moving on.
Rightly so.
Yeah, again, both of our brackets still undamaged to this point. I know some people that did have some differing opinions with us in the main event tonight, which was Mariposa versus Phoenix, because if Mariposa wins, that would set up Mariposa versus Marty.
I get that as a storyline, but we know for a fact that Phoenix is going to come into conflict with Marty the Moth just because of Melissa Santos.
Yes.
So the two of them definitely have to face off against each other. Marty and Mariposa, the two of them going at it, that's always something that could happen down the line. I don't really want to see too much of tribes getting fractured, but yeah, I didn't see it happening this soon.
I think it'd just be like playtime for them, or foreplay. You never know. But we got Mariposa versus Phoenix, and right off the bat, Melissa blowing Phoenix a kiss. That's not going to make Marty happy at all.
Glad you finished that sentence.
What, blowing Phoenix a kiss?
Yeah. Marty and I really panicked for a moment.
Keeping it classy. Yeah, it's not going to please Marty. But I do like how they sort of worked this match. I liked how Phoenix was a little bit reticent to attack Mariposa at first, it seemed, you know, when she acted scared and he, like, feigned kicking her. But then he hit that insane dropkick on her that just looked awesome. That was probably my favorite spot from the whole match. I thought that was great. What did you think of the match?
This match just kind of reminded me how much I really like Phoenix and what a good fit Phoenix is for Lucha Underground and how much more I'd like to see from him in the future. I know you and I talked about after we had both watched this episode, exactly what does this mean for Phoenix and his storyline? How much is he still going to be invested in the Aerostar Drago storyline? Is he going back to basically just solo work? And, you know, as far as rumors with other talent in the company, and then if that would mean that there's a whole you know, more towards like the top end of competitors, having Phoenix kind of plug that hole, because he fits right in there. It's just the sort of things that were floating around in my head as I was watching this match. I liked it a lot. I'm a fan of Mariposa as well. Kind of a shame that she had to go against Phoenix so early. But, yeah, I liked what I saw, and I'm looking forward to his rivalry with the Moth Tribe, which I think is basically what he's going to be doing now.
Before we finish up, I do want to tell everyone, big thank you for all the support of Lucha Lowdown. We really appreciate it. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Rate us and review us if you like what you hear. It's a huge help to us. Tell your friends. Word of mouth and those reviews are the best way to help this podcast grow. The reception has been great so far. We love all that. If you want to interact with us, at Lucha Lowdown on Twitter. I live tweet most of the episodes. I love interacting with all the believers on there. It's a lot of fun and look forward to keep doing that. So that's at Lucha Lowdown on Twitter. You can hit us up on Facebook. Just search for Lucha Lowdown. If you want to email us, luchalowdown@gmail.com. Anything you'd like us to talk about, any questions, any segment ideas, just anything. You can tweet at us. You can email us. You can Facebook us. Really appreciate it. But subscribe to us on iTunes and Audio Boom. Rate and review us. Huge help to us, and we appreciate you all. And one little bit of news, it's pretty exciting, is that current Lucha Underground champion Johnny Mundo is going to be coming to the Bay Area Thursday, July 6th for a special screening of Boone the Bounty Hunter right here at the radio station hosted by 107.7 The Bone. So it's going to be myself and Baby Huey hosting the event. We're going to do a Q&A with Johnny and screen Boone the Bounty Hunter. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll put out the we already put out the Enter to Win link on our Lucha Lowdown Twitter. So if you're in the area, because Johnny is going to be wrestling the next night for All Pro Wrestling, we're going to that event as well, and I encourage you to do the same. It's going to be a great, great event on Thursday. It's going to be a badass wrestling show on Friday. So if you're in the Bay Area, if you're in the Greater California area, I know some people that are coming up from Southern California for the event, Jeff, yourself included. But other That's people right. as well. So if you want to enter to win, please seek out that link on 1077thebone.com. It's all via contest for the Thursday night Boone the Bounty Hunter screening. You can't buy tickets. You just enter to win, and we want to see as many believers out there as possible. Pack the house. Levi's Lounge pizza and beer all free. It's going to be great. Woo! It's going to be a big-time event. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then, yes, you get to see Johnny Mundo in action the next night. You're going to get to see Penta El Cerro Miedo, a.k.a. Pentagon Dark, as well at All Pro Wrestling the next night. So enter to win the tickets for the screening and buy your tickets for All Pro Wrestling. It's going to be a great weekend for wrestling. So that's some exciting news for us as well. Yeah, I'm looking forward to see you up here, buddy. It's going to be fun.
I know. I just saw you. I get to see you again, and then I'm going to see you again soon after that. Yeah. It's a good summer for us. It's been a while.
Absolutely. But back to the match. So Mariposa and Phoenix, they went back and forth. I thought this was the best match of the night.
Absolutely.
With Phoenix prevailing with the Phoenix driver. And that's how it should have ended. So Phoenix is moving on. Our brackets remain perfect. And I think this might be the first one that had some probably, I don't think many, but I think some probably took Mariposa here just at the temptation of getting the brother-sister matchup. But still relatively not too – I don't – there hasn't been an upset yet in the Cueto Cup so far.
No, and I don't – I mean, it'll be exciting this next week because that's when you and I actually start to diverge as far as who we're picking. Or I guess maybe just for the first match – or first – there's only one match in the first round where we're like that. But, yeah, Group C is when I think we start to really –
Yeah, we got
break apart. So it'll be
who'd you have, Joey Ryan or Taya next week?
I had Joey Ryan. You had Taya. I think that's the only one we disagree with for next week. But Group C is one that I'm looking forward to keeping an eye on because you and I went, I think, a couple different ways with it.
Yeah.
Did you have Crane against Mortez as well?
I had Crane and Mortez as well.
Oh, never mind. Then I think we just disagree with the Joey Ryan Taya thing. And maybe I guess things are only going to get dicey for us towards the end
because that's deeper when we into the brackets. Yeah,
had some shakeups. Yeah. You and I always agree on everything. It seems
mostly
other than Wonder Woman.
And I gotta say, I think your bracket for the Cueto Cup is sublime. I really like your reasoning on everything, and you've pretty much convinced me that I am wrong, and you are probably going to have a perfect. For a perfect Cueto Cup bracket in the first year out of the shoot, so that
had money on it. Then.
That will be impressive. Yeah, well, there's always next year, pal. So we'll have to bet some Aztec gold next time around. But after the match, Phoenix was attacked by Marty the Moth, and just some really great.
Because Marty's running out of options.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't know what else to do.
He's getting frustrated. But I thought there's some just really great
like
selling from Melissa Santos. How concerned she looked. And then when Phoenix made his own save and stood tall at the end, taking down both Marty and Mariposa, dude, the way Melissa was looking at Phoenix, and there's those memes online. It's like, dude, find yourself a girl that looks at you the way Melissa Santos looks at Phoenix, man. Because that was some great acting from her as far as just the admiration that she had for Phoenix and just the amour she was feeling for him. It was some strong stuff. I was digging the reaction there to close out the show. And Phoenix standing tall is how it should be, you know, rising from the ashes and making his own save. I'm cool with that. And I am interested to see what happens when Phoenix and Marty clash in the next round. But before we get there, like you said, we're gonna get what is that, Group C next week?
Yeah.
Group C of the Cueto Cup next week. Very excited to see how that develops. Hope your brackets are doing well, believers. That is gonna do it for us this week here at Lucha Lowdown. For Jeff Budd, I'm James Kincaid. Good night, everybody.
Dude, I was just thinking, man, Phoenix gets all the girls. Like, is Ivelisse next?